I wish I could write on a piece of paper from the thoughts that's in my head when I walk laps around this building. The thoughts come real good about that top corner up there if I go clockwise. I pray this morning that the word the Lord gives will absolutely infuriate those that hate Him. Those that despise Him. Those that can't stand Him. They can't stand His gospel. They can't stand His sovereignty. They can't stand His righteousness that He gives His people. His power in all things. I hope it makes it so mad they can't stand it. And I hope that exact same word calls out one of His elect that's never heard Him. Boy, I pray it's the last one. This wicked world full of pain and sorrow's over. We can go home. And if it ain't, I'll rejoice. I'll be thankful that His word did that. And that those that He's already called, those that just had all their hope ripped from them, heart shattered, broken, contrite, that He's healed. He's given confidence to His confidence, His faith, confidence in Him, the object of our faith. And we're so quick to forget Him. So quick to forget Him. I hope He comforts that child. All three of those can happen if He sees fit. I can't do that. If I was that smart, I'd probably be making money doing something else. I don't know. I don't have that ability, but He does. His word does. There's many different people that the Lord saves. You need to get that through your head, and I need to get that through my head. We need to get a hold of that. The Lord saves a lot of different people. He saves some of them hooty-tooty, highfalutin religionists. And I don't want to call them Pharisees today. Nicodemus wasn't a Pharisee. He's a theologian. That's our modern-day word, isn't it? He's a theologian. God saved him. And God saved a whore by a well. She went under the guise, the ruse of marrying over and over and over. Maybe they died, maybe they left her, I don't know, but she kept doing it. She was living with one that wasn't her husband. He saved both of them. What we read this morning, there was those that blindfolded Him, took turns slapping Him in the face and said, "Now you're a prophet, you tell us which one just smacked you." That makes my blood boil. If I could get a hold of them, I'd take off more than their ear. It may have been one of those that the Lord saved. Peter stood up on his hind legs to the very ones he watched kill Christ and said, "You killed Him, and He's God." Think Peter's worried about them killing him? Not if the Lord's with him, he did. Some of those the Lord saved that day when Peter preached to them. The very ones that did that. God saved sinners. We think we're somewhat just magically different. Well, I'm just learned and holy, and I don't do this, and I don't cuss, and I don't think bad thoughts, and every now and then I sin a little bit. Hogwash. Go out in your garbage can after Thanksgiving dinner, find that turkey down in the bottom, and you see a bunch of maggots crawling all over it in the noonday sun. And you say, one of those maggots are telling the other maggot, "Now you stop and you listen to me. I'm in charge of you." We'd laugh. Squish them. Throw some bleach on them. Get rid of them. If we're worms, if we're maggots, we ain't no different than anybody else. But thanks be to God, He come to save sinners. He come to be made a worm that I am. What a thought that is. In His loving kindness to an undeserving people, that's absolutely amazing. That amazes me. His long suffering to a rebellious bride. It inspires all. That's awesome. That's something to marvel at. The amount of His mercy, the bounty of His mercy that He delights to show. It's unimaginable. There are some things that are in common to all who are saved. That always perked my interest. I've told you that before. Now, all believers do this. That's how they get you them headlines nowadays, isn't it? If you want to save on your money, do this. And I'll get you a click on it. That always got me. What's common between all believers? Am I a believer? Have I experienced this? It's what I ask myself. But how the Lord, there's some things common between all believers, but how the Lord deals with His sheep, it is absolutely individual. And that's something we need to take note of. Not how He deals with each one, but that it's individual. It's like a thumbprint. We're every one different. Every one of us are different. We may be in the same country, the same state, may have the same culture growing up, may not. But we're all different people. We have different thoughts, different minds. The Lord gave us a mind to think. And every one of us think our mind's the right one. We need to do it my way. No, I do. If everybody just do it my way, the world would be a lot better place. But if everybody be like me, we'd be miserable. We'd be tearing each other's heads off. The thing that's common to all those that the Lord saves is they're all sinners in need. They don't know it. They may have some guilt, you know, but it ain't conviction of sin for what they are. They know. They'll be brought to know that. They may not know that yet, but the Lord's going to convict some of that. But that's the true need. They're sinners. They've offended the holy God. And every one of them are steeped in pride and self-righteousness. Every one. That real highfalutin Nicodemus and that woman that hid herself in the noonday sun when nobody else was out, that wouldn't talk to nobody. That's why you bother me. Leave me alone. I'm here to get water. She's proud? Is she self-righteous? Yes, she is. Both maggots, ain't they? There's four nuns in Romans. There's none righteous, no, not one. There ain't no righteousness in this flesh. There's none that understandeth. Well, now we're starting to build a little bit of fire underneath that, ain't we? You don't understand. I don't understand. I just ain't that smart. I didn't figure this out on my own. T's starting to grin a little bit. There's none that seeketh after God. Now, I get up early every Sunday morning. I ain't missed a church service in 87 years. I seek Him. What's God say? And there's none that doeth good. Well, now, Graham, no. Not one. Not one. That's what we are. Christ saves each one of His children. He comes to these poor, vile, wretched, prideful, self-righteous worms, maggots, and He saves them. He does the work. He comes to His child. He calls them by name. And He may bring them to Him through providence. That's the way we see it. That's the only way we can chew that. He might bring them to where He is, or He comes to where they are. He brought Nicodemus through His holy high command. Every molecule moved on this earth throughout time brought Nicodemus right to His feet that night. And then there were some fishermen out there mending nets. Christ walked by and said, "Hey, follow Me." Dropped in nets. That's their life. That's their livelihood. Well, what? Now hold on now. Maybe I'll pack him up real tight in a backpack, take him with you. You may need to do some fishing on the other side of town. They dropped their nets and they followed Him. Because they had a need. In two words, the Lord revealed that need to His children, His apostles. The Savior is always the same. The need is always the same. And the results, though the proportions are different, though the way the Lord's providence is used to call out His children, though what they look like on the outside may be different, the results, the end state, is always the same. The need's the same, the Savior's the same, and outcome's always the same. It says in verse 28, John 4:28, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Him. The Lord was using her as means. Come church with me. That's what she's saying. There's Christ. There's a man out here speaking some stuff. Come hear Him. Come hear Him. That's a mighty work of God that just took place. She left her water pot and she told what God did for her. She left her water pot. Three times this woman interacted with the Lord. She approached that well. He's sitting on it. And she said, "Why are you even talking to me?" you're going to get us both in trouble. This is what I know. She said, I know some things. That's what she's getting at. First interaction they had. I know the rules. I know man's rules. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we can't talk. You can get us both in hot water. And she said, secondly, you can't draw from this well. Have you seen this well? It's too deep. You ain't got the right tools to draw from this well. That's mocking it. That's Captain Obvious. You can't reach down that far. You ain't got a rope. You ain't got a bucket. That's man's logic. And then lastly, her third interaction, she said, I'm religious. I've been going to church all my life. I worship God in these mountains. My parents did. My great-grandparents did. My great-great-granddaddy did. We know God. Just a different God than you do. We're all getting there the same way. It's religion, isn't it? Justifying. She said, what are you talking about? How can this be? I know religion. I have no idea what you're talking about. Three times, in the very presence of the triune God in a body, she gave a rebuke, she gave a rebuttal, and she gave her religion. I know some stuff. How could this be? This ain't possible. You kidding me? Well, I'm religious. She was perfectly fallen. Isn't that three? Three times. How many times did Peter deny the Lord? She was perfectly fallen. She was perfectly unable to know God. She was perfectly unable to worship Him. And she was perfectly and completely unable to perceive Him, to understand Him, and to figure Him out. Then the Lord revealed Himself to her. She had life. How many times, if I had to deal with this woman, how many times would I make it? Would I make it through the first one? Maybe I'm a pretty good fella. You know, I'm good on the inside. I could at least go through two rebukes and rebuttals and not listen to what I have to say. I thought all morning, Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. I know I ain't. Oh, I pray the Lord make me meek, long-suffering, and patient, because He was. I won't be like Him. Three times she did this, and then the Lord revealed Himself to her. Then she had life. And then she left her water pot, and she went and told people about Him. The same thing happened over in John 3, didn't it? That's what we read this morning. Nicodemus. There's three big differences. There's a lot of big differences between Nicodemus and this woman, but there's some similarities too. Nicodemus was a man. She's a woman. That ain't as big a deal in our day because we've evolved and we're more morally, have a greater moral appetite in our society or whatever. Back then, this meant something. Not too long ago in this country, women couldn't vote, they couldn't own land, couldn't do a lot of things, could they? There was a difference. Nicodemus was a man, she was a woman. God saved both of them. He had a name. Nicodemus. That meant victorious among the people. He's a winner. Good strong name. Victorious. You're going to win above people. You're going to climb to the top of them. They're going to be your mountain. You're going to step on every one of their heads. She didn't have a name. Nowhere in the scriptures is her name recorded. Woman at the well. That lady with five husbands. Living with somebody else. He was of pure stock. He was a Jew. Oh man, he was of a tribe. I don't know which one. I didn't look that up. He had a tribe though. He's a good stock. He was circumcised the eighth day. She was a Samaritan, a half Jew, a half Gentile, a dog. That's worse than just a Gentile dog. Horrible. He was well educated. Likely this woman was not. He'd been to the finest schools. He'd been to seminary. He was a theologian. He knew lots of big things. Knew the scriptures. She didn't. She knew about a mountain her mom and daddy went to. He was well-to-do. She was poor. He had understudies. He had apprentices. People on internships and maids to go get his water for him. He didn't have to go no well. She had to go get her own water. He came to Christ looking for Him. He sought Him out at night. But He came, didn't He? He comes seeking the Lord. He comes seeking for mercy. No, he came to debate theological doctrine and issues. Christ brought him in providence. The Lord brought him to him. His feet were used, wasn't it? She wanted left alone. She just showed up to get a bucket of water to get through the day. She wasn't seeking the Lord. The Lord Jesus came to her. She was seeking a pot of water, is what she was seeking. But he was seeking her, and he was found by one that sought him not. Nicodemus was a very high, powerful man in religion. And he wanted the people to see him in the streets. See my outfits? I wear this on purpose. He had a little collar, a robe, whatever it was. Want people to see where he sat in the tabernacle. When he went to church on Sunday, he had high seats. When he prayed out loud. He rolled his R's or whatever, made himself sound fancy. He had strict morals. He did, didn't he? Oh, can't read that. I can't look at that. I can't watch that movie. I can't go over here. Can't eat this. Outwardly, he could say with Saul of Tarsus, concerning the law, I'm blameless. We couldn't hold nothing to him. On an outward appearance, we couldn't get him on nothing. This woman didn't have too many morals, did she? She went to get her water at noon because she didn't want anybody to see her. She'd been married 5 times and was living out of wedlock with the current one. Nicodemus was told something he could not do. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't do that, can you? The Lord's got to do it. This woman was told something she could do. Give me a drink of water. She never did she? She didn't even get herself a drink of water. She dropped that water pot, took off. She went up there to get something to drink, and then she left without it. Something was more important. The need was the same. There's a whole lot of differences between these two, but the need was the same. 3 times, Nicodemus, in the presence of the Almighty God right in front of him, he told what he thought. He was sarcastic and he mocked the Lord. How can a man be born again? And then he asked, how can these things be? I'm learned. That's what the Lord responded with too. Ain't you a ruler in Israel? He said, I've read these scriptures. I know my Bible. My God says this. My Bible says this. God taught him something, didn't he? 3 times this woman came to the Lord. Here's this high and lifted up man. Proud, rich fellow, well-educated, theologian. And here's nothing. She came to him, mildly different on the outside, but the inside wasn't no different, was it? Her status in life might have been a whole lot different, but the inside wasn't no different. She came prideful and self-righteous. She told the Lord what she thought and what she knew. I know the rules. You can't talk to me. What are you doing? And then she was sarcastic. And mocked him. How are you going to get water out of that well? That's too deep. You ain't got no tools. How are you going to get a baby out of somebody that's already been born? Same thing, isn't it? How a man be born again? Enter his mother's womb second time? How are you going to get water out of that well? You got a rope? You got a bucket in your pocket? Well, ain't no difference. And then she fell on her religion. Nicodemus said, how could this be? How could these things be? And she said, well, I worship in the mountains. It's all the same. My parents are good Christians. They're good moral people. It's the exact same, isn't it? Perfectly fallen before a holy God. Both of them. It wasn't no difference. And Christ saved both of them. What hope do I have? God saved both of them. He saved both. They're sinners. They were His, given to Him before the foundation of the world. And He came to seek and to save the lost. Call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people. Nobody goes on from their sins. That's what we are. Ain't nothing but sin. That's who He came to save. When it was clear and plain that they both were perfectly, helplessly, hopeless, unable, God gave them life. And when there's new life given, there's faith to believe Christ, to believe His Word, to believe what He says about mankind, to believe He's able to save to the uttermost. And to call on Him for mercy. Lord, You have saved me. Lord, save me today. And keep saving me till You take me home. Till that final day. He gives the faith to do that. That new heart, that new cup that's inside of them that runs over. That's what the Lord puts in there. gives it life, gives it faith, gives it ability to cry out for mercy, to believe on the Lord, love Him, love His brethren. Martin Luther wrote, God creates out of nothing. That's what He made this world, this whole universe, wasn't it? Therefore, until a man is nothing, God will make nothing out of him. Until we're brought down to nothing. Well, I was wounded. Man was either wounded in the garden or he died in the garden. Well, I need reading glasses. I do have some trouble with my eyes. You're either blind or you see. Until a man's made nothing, God will make nothing out of him. Look down in verse 10. Here's what he does. John 4, verse 10. Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. The gift of God. What's the gift of God? Eternal life. If you knew what eternal life was, not a parachute to get you out of hell. A dog knows not to jump on something that hurts. If you knew the gift of God, eternal life, that's a life you've always had. A life that you're alive with right now. And a life you always keep. He'll keep it. Thou knowest the gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me drink. He is our gift. He is our life. Thou wouldest have asked of Him. If the Lord gave somebody the heart to know what eternal life is, what His gift of faith, His gift of life, Christ is. What He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to this world to bleed, to die, to be mocked, to have His beard plucked out, to wear a crown of thorns, to be pierced in His side. Open not His mouth to be accepted of God. If we knew who He was, we'd ask Him. Then power, that new man sees who he is, we'll say, Lord, give me mercy. Lord, come to us. Lord, teach us. Lord, be with us. Lord, keep us. And it says there, and He would have given thee living water. Don't chew that bone too fast. Come to Him. He will. He would. That's marvelous. Do we marvel or do we sleep on, old sluggard? That's marvelous, isn't it? Look here in verse 27. And upon this, when He told that woman, He said, I am. That's who's talking to you. I am. At that moment, verse 27, and upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? They didn't ask her anything. What are you doing here? Why are you bothering Him? And they didn't ask the Lord anything. Why are you talking to her? That's our carnal mind, isn't it? Here's a Jew talking to a Samaritan. Here's a man talking to a woman without a chaperone. Here's a man talking to a woman that you can tell on the outside. She didn't look like the good holy ones, did she? That's a streetwalker. What's he doing over there with her? What would somebody think if I was talking to somebody like that? What are you doing? But they had heard Him say, I am. But they rise, they peaked that hill. Oh, we got some meat. And He said, I am. She let go of that water pot and took off running. I know why He's talking to her now. That's His bride. He saved her a worm just like me. Just like He come to us. That woman left her water pot and she took off running and told whoever would listen. Look down in verse 39. Here's the result of it. And this wasn't her. This wasn't her doing. Proverbs speaks of it's good to be a soul winner. And boy, we've taken that and we've just bastardized it in our day and age. We've abused that word and people took and run for the hills with it and be like, oh, well, you need to be a soul winner. You ain't. It's good to be the tool that the Lord uses. That's what it's saying. Good to be a mouthpiece. That's good office. Lord put you there. Be thankful for it. He's going to let you see some things. This woman took off. She told others. It says in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Because they saw a change in her, they believed her words. When she said, come church with me, come see, they said, you know what, I believe I'll go hear that man speak. Something's obviously changed. I can tell, I've known you your whole life, and something's different. She said, come here. And I said, you know what, I think I will. They believed they'd go with her. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. They ask, Lord, stay with us. And he stayed. He stayed 2 days, didn't he? And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe. Not because of thy saying. You were the tool used. And I'm thankful for you. You are my sister. But it ain't because of you. For we have heard him ourselves. God spoke to us. He called us by name. He called me with an effectual calling. I'm thankful for Henry Mahan was used to preach the gospel to me. And I love that man and I'd fight for him. You ain't going to talk bad about him in front of me. But that's just the means the Lord used. I'm thankful for my Lord. He's a man. The Lord could have had a tree talk to me. Thankful for my Lord, but I appreciate the means he used to call me out. It says in verse 42, and they said to the woman, we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, bond or free. It's him. We know him. They didn't say one letter there about we understand some doctrine. We got our theology in a row. They said, we found a person. He spoke to us. They went to hear and they heard. God spoke to them. He called them by name. He pierced their hearts and they believed. And they left their water pots too. We're all different. Lord comes, he saves through the preaching of the gospel, not the preaching of a lie. He said so. That's the same. But the word that he uses to pierce the heart. Sometimes he takes an axe and sometimes he takes a pen. And he knows just what to do. It's right. On that day and this day, the first time and the last time that we breathe on this earth, he knows just, this great physician knows just how to do it. It's right. And whenever he does that, we leave our water pots. She went up there to get something earthly that she had to keep going after and keep going after and keep going after. It satisfied, but it come right back out of the body because we're cracked cisterns. A water pot's the heart. She tried to fill it before with husbands. She had one, then she had two, then three, then four, then five. Now working on number six. That wasn't working, was it? It's empty, empty, empty. This world's vanity. That's what Ecclesiastes was talking about. Go read Solomon. Vanity, all of it. The capital P preacher said so. Christ told us, plainly. And everything in here is going to perish, and it doesn't fulfill anything. And she left that water pot. She left her thoughts, her opinions, she left her rebuttals, and she left her religion that could not save behind. And she went and taught about a man, the God man. Left all this form and these robes and nonsense, and went and talked about a man. He did something for me. I'm going to tell you about him. Nicodemus did the same thing. Do you know that? Over in John 7, those chiefs, those captains came, they went to go arrest the Lord, and they reported back, they heard the Lord preach, and they didn't get him. And they come back to these high priests and these Sanhedrins and these big fancy courts, these theologians. And they said, where'd he go? Why didn't you arrest him? And they said, we've never heard a man speak like this man. And he said, well, are you believing him too? How many people believe it? They start looking for numbers, don't they? Get rid of him. What can we do? Let's devise a plan. And Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Same one. He said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Shouldn't we hear this man out? The Lord spoke to him. He hadn't, that woman at the well, he saved her right then. Nicodemus, the Lord spoke to him. Well, that took a while, didn't it? It's a couple years later. 2 years later, a year and a half later. And he said, I want to hear about this. What did he have to say? He had heard of a man that told all things. He said, let's hear him. Let's hear him. And they answered and said to him, art thou also of Galilee? Ain't you redneck? That's what they're getting at. Ain't you hillbilly? Search and look. Go read your Bible, Nicodemus. For out of Galilee riseth no prophet. Nicodemus started to bend down just a little bit, set that water pot down. Didn't he? He had his water pot. He said, well, let's hear him out. He'd been about halfway. He's almost down, all the way down that manna, wouldn't he? But when the pride was gone, when the Lord kept working his heart, we don't know how that happened. He left his water pot. Turn over to John 19. John 19, verse 38. This is after our Lord cried out, "I thirst," and they gave him a sponge with vinegar. And he cried out, "It's finished." And he gave up the ghost. And they came by and they pierced his side, and blood and water come out of it. And they didn't break his legs, because the scripture said no bone will be broken. But we saw the blood. That's what was required of God. And we saw the water. We needed cleansing. Right after he was on that tree, they brought him down and they were going to bury him, because they couldn't break their holy day. Our Sabbath hung on a cross and they didn't want to break the Sabbath. Christ, our Passover, hung on that cross, and it was the Passover and we're going to get in trouble. They took him down. It's time to get him in the ground. Bury him so we didn't sin. But verse 38 says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus," he was the Lord's, "but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus." He went to Pilate through the back door because he didn't want them trying to tear his body apart. The Lord's body. "And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and 100 pound weight." He had myrrh and he had aloe, and he had 100 pounds of it. You ever got aloe? I always think of aloes in bushes right here on the corner. It looks like a big old aloe bush. I know it ain't, but I'm sure somebody, an expert, will tell me what it is, but... You got 100 pounds of it. You're going to see that. You don't hide that under a napkin. You don't put that in your coat pocket. He didn't have a little thing of hand sanitizer. He had 100 pounds of it. Walking through the middle of the day. "And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." This very one Nicodemus carried through town with the body of Christ 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. This Sanhedrin. This big, important religious. Could you imagine all his co-workers, all his fellow theologians calling out, "You walk out that door, Nicodemus, and you ain't coming back in. You'll be lighting candles in Rome. You'll be an altar boy. That's going to be all you want. You have to go start pumping gas. Your work here is done. Don't you do it." And I bet they're mocking him, making fun of him, throwing things in his face that he said for 50 years while he was there, doing anything they could to pick on him. And you know what he did? He put aloe on one shoulder, myrrh on the other, and said, "Let's go." He left his water pot. Religion was his water pot. Going to church was his water pot. Wearing fancy robes and talking real funny in public was his water pot. And he left it. And he went to the Lord. He went to a person. Went to put him in a grave. Bind him up. He didn't care. Just as our Lord did not care to speak to that whoremonger, he didn't care who saw it. He didn't care what they thought. That was his bride, and he was going to talk to her. Aren't you thankful? Let this mind be in you. After Peter was converted, he didn't teach his brethren, he didn't whip his brethren, he comforted his brethren, and he said, "Let this mind be in you." Our great Lord and his condescension. This high, proud theologian and this adulterous woman. And every child that God saves, they rejoice in that. We had a need. He is the one thing needful. He came to us. He saved us. We're plumb saved forever. Ain't nobody going to change it. We're His bride. Ain't nobody messing with her. He's going to keep us forever. We're going to be conformed to His image. One day this old water pot cistern that I live in is going to be ground back up to dirt. And I'll be with Him. I'll be with Him. I'll be like Him. And we rejoice over that. Nicodemus rejoiced, that woman at the well rejoiced, and every one of his children rejoiced. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he said, "For we are the circumcision which do worship God in the Spirit." We have a spirit now. We have life. And rejoice in Jesus Christ. Don't rejoice in nothing else. We're thankful to Him for all we have, but we rejoice in Him. in a person and have no confidence in the flesh. Lord, I thank. Stop it. Knock it off. Ain't got no confidence in the flesh. We just bow. Rejoice in Him. Nicodemus left his water pot of titles and religion and confidence in the flesh. That woman left her water pot of privacy, religion, understanding. And every child of God on this earth leaves their water pot. All those things before, it ain't worth nothing. Until we leave this body of death. Every one of us. Someone sent me a thing this morning. And they said, do you think this is true? And it was scriptures about what happens when a person dies. I said, well, is that the Lord's word? And they said, yeah. I said, yes, I think it's true. I may not be able to explain it, but I can tell you right now, it's true. I know that. I believe what I don't understand, but that's true. The second this body of death is over, we're already alive. If we have eternal life, you have it right now. And this just goes away. It's like taking off an old coat. When this world's gone, we'll be with Him. And we'll rejoice in spirit because we'll be with God who's in spirit. Be right there face to face with Him at that marriage supper. What a thought that'll be. Poor, wretched, worthless, nothing but worms. Couldn't come to Him, wouldn't come to Him. He came to us and He saved us. And boy, we're thankful. And we'll spend eternity praising Him, giving Him all the glory for it, won't we? Rejoicing in Him, not ourselves in Him. That'll be something. Lord saves rich and poor. He saves Jew and Gentile. Male and female. That was a big issue back in the day. Black and white. My pastor went through that issue. Lord saves black people and white people. In the 1860s. He saves slaves and He saves masters. In the 70s. He saves Vietnamese and He saves Americans. Early 2000s. Lord saves Democrats and He saves Republicans. What about this week? Lord saves vaccinated people and He saves unvaccinated people. Took the power of God for me to say that. That step on some toes, won't it? Oh, if He'd show us we were sinners. If He'd show us we had need. He would give. He'd give you water. Lord, I'm thirsty. Come on. Here's water. Isn't that something? Amen.